Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shore, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week, and in a way they're interrelated. First, the results of the elections in Israel. Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud are in a lot of trouble now because they actually got fewer votes than the other party, the Blue and White Party. In Hebrew, it's Kahol Lavan, the Blue and White Party. And so there's a good chance that Bibi is not going to be able to become prime minister and that he's going to wind up facing charges and wind up going to prison. We're going to discuss all of that. The second subject that we want to discuss is how Donald Trump, the loyal, longtime friend of Bibi Netanyahu, whom Bibi depended on and was leaning on and put posters all over Israel and big signs and banners all over Israel showing him with Trump, Netanyahu and Trump. You saw this all over Israel. That was one of the biggest themes of the Likud campaign. Trump immediately abandons and stabs Bibi in the back as soon as the election's over, as soon as things don't look good for Bibi. Trump immediately stabs him in the back, which is what Trump does with everybody. We'll discuss that in a moment. And by the way, if Trump does that to Bibi, you don't think he would do that to Israel as a whole? Of course he would, to all of you idiots, idiotic Jews that worship Trump, just like the idiotic Jews who worship Bibi. Your idols, are false gods. But anyway, let's start off with the first false god, Bibi Netanyahu. He ran in the election. He got fewer seats than the Blue and White Party. And the total number of votes that he has when he bunches together all of the other allied parties is lower than the party of Blue and White. Basically, to sum things up, it doesn't look good for Bibi. The interesting thing is that Bibi desperately wanted to win this election because he has three indictments that are pending against him. And he wanted to get what's called chasinut in Hebrew, which means immunity from prosecution. He wanted the Knesset to give him chasinut, to give him immunity from prosecution, so that he would be able to get out of prison, get out of the possibility of spending years in prison for all of his corruption. Now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Interestingly, Bibi, in the campaign, there were two campaigns this year, don't forget, in 2019. There was the first election in April, where it was pretty much a stalemate, and the Likud was unable to form a government. And so they had another election this past week. So there were two elections in 2019. You had election A and election B in 2019. And in both elections, Bibi Netanyahu swore to the voters, promised over and over again, said a million times, that he would never, never propose a national unity government with the Blue and White left-wing party. He will never. He wants only a right-wing government. He will never accept a national unity government with Benny Gantz, who's the head of the left-wing Blue and White party. Because a national unity government with Benny Gantz would be a left-wing government because Benny Gantz is a leftist and Blue and White are leftists. And that would be a disaster for Israel, and I will never accept it, Bibi swore. Over and over and over again he made this promise. A million times he campaigned all over Israel swearing that he will never agree to a national unity government. As soon as the election results are over, what does Bibi Netanyahu do? He immediately proposes a national unity government with the Blue and White Party, something he swore a million times he wouldn't do. Only days earlier, he was promising and vowing and pledging that he would never do this. And already he's proposing a government with the Blue and White Party. and saying that it's essential for Israel, that this is what we have to do, this is the essential thing we have to do now. Bibi Netanyahu never keeps a single promise that he makes. He is a pathological liar, a serial liar. Never keeps his word. This is the Bibi Netanyahu who swore when he was running in 1996 that he was going to end the Oslo agreements with Yasser Arafat and that he would and that he and was condemning Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres for meeting with Arafat. How dare he meet with Arafat? How dare they offer to give land from the land of Israel, retreat from the land of Israel, and hand it over to this Arab Hitler, to this mass murderer Yasser Arafat? What does Bibi Netanyahu do as soon as the election is over in 1996, as soon as he was elected? He immediately meets with Yasser Arafat and hugs Yasser Arafat, warmly greets him and hugs him and meets with him repeatedly and says, I have found a friend. I have found a new friend in Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler that murdered thousands of Jews and that promised over and over again to exterminate the entire Jewish people. Netanyahu found a new friend in Yasser Arafat and hugged and embraced him. And then Netanyahu handed him 97% of Hebron. Hebron is the city of our forefathers. It is the second holiest city in the world after Jerusalem. And Netanyahu handed 97% of Hebron over to Arafat and the PLO terrorists. Something that he vowed he would never do. Something that the left never did. When Peres and Rabin were in power, they couldn't do it. They were afraid to retreat from Hebron. They were afraid the reaction would be too strong because left-wing governments are incapable. They've tried, but they're incapable of pursuing suicide agreements to the end. Even the Oslo Agreement, the majority of the Israeli people turned against them when they introduced the Oslo Agreements. They can't get a majority of Jews to support their suicidal concessions that they want to make. The left wants to make suicidal concessions. They certainly are traitors to the Jewish people. But they're unable to do it. They're unable because when the left does it, the Israeli people start panicking. Oh, what are they doing? This is crazy. We can't give up this land. And not only that, the Likud and the phony right start attacking the left and saying, what are you doing? You're endangering Israel's survival, and start pointing out how dangerous and how much this imperils the very existence of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. And so the left has a very hard time making suicidal concessions when they're in power. Very hard time. The Likud even had a slogan saying, only the Likud can do it. Only the Likud can make peace. In other words, only the Likud can make the concessions, the tough concessions that lead to catastrophe for Israel, because there can be no peace with Arab Nazis who want to exterminate the Jewish people. There can never be peace with Nazis who want to push you into the sea and exterminate you. But the Likud, they are able to make the retreats. They are able to withdraw from Jewish land and throw Jews out of their homes and destroy Jewish communities and hand over sacred Jewish land to the Arab Nazis that want to exterminate the Jewish people. The Likud, because they have a reputation among stupid Jews of being a so-called right-wing party, they're able to do this. They're able to do what the left could never do. The Likud gets away with it. The Likud gets away with it because people say, well, if Netanyahu and the Likud are proposing it, it probably isn't so bad after all. It couldn't be so bad if Netanyahu and the right-wing Likud are in favor. It can't be so bad. And so over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War were carried out under Likud governments, not under left-wing governments. And over 90% of the expulsion of Jews from the land of Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War were carried out under Likud governments, not under left-wing governments. The Likud and the phony right are more dangerous than the left. You know what it's like? It's like Donald Trump when he was saying that Barack Hussein Obama is bankrupting the United States, that the national debt is going up so fast under Obama because of Obama's deficit spending that the United States is headed toward bankruptcy. This is what Donald Trump said. America is headed toward bankruptcy. He said, as soon as we get to $17 trillion in debt, the United States will be facing the prospect of bankruptcy. We're now, by the way, $22.5 trillion in debt, thanks to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is outspending Obama. Donald Trump is actually spending at a much faster rate than Obama. But he gets away with it. He gets away with it. People on the right don't never criticize him for his excessive spending, never say a word. They continue to loyally support him. So you have the same phenomenon with Bibi in Israel. The phony right can do things that the left can never do. And so when it comes to Israel, the phony right is more dangerous than the left. They actually wind up endangering Israel more than the left. And Bibi, by the way, immediately breaks all his promises, immediately does the opposite of everything he said he would do when he was running in the campaign. And the other so-called right-wing parties like Yamina and Otzma, Naftali Bennett, Ayelet Shaked, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who some people actually refer to as a Kahanist. They're all Likud people. They're all supporters of Bibi. Itamar Ben-Gvir, who is called a Kahanist by some people, and Israelis think he's a Kahanist. He's not. He's a phony right. He refused to criticize Bibi during the campaign. When he did interviews, interviewers tried to get even one word of criticism out of him. He refused. He would not criticize Bibi. He would not criticize the person who destroyed Amona, the person who threw hundreds of Jews out of their homes just in the past several years, the person who, as Treasury Minister, voted in favor, under the Sharon government, voted in favor and financed the expulsion of Jews in Gush Katif, and yet Itamar Ben-Gvir, who calls himself a Kahanist, would never criticize Bibi. He said, no, he's a right-winger. No, he said, I love and admire Bibi Netanyahu and wouldn't criticize him. And sadly, Moshe Feiglin, to try to become a minister in Bibi's government, because Bibi promised him, even though Bibi never keeps his promises, but Bibi promised Feiglin a position in the government. Feiglin also endorsed Bibi, much to our disappointment. So we don't have any right-wing parties in Israel. We have no real right in Israel. None. And that's why JTF is so important. We're the only ones bringing this pure, true, loyal, right-wing message. We're the only ones who bring a message of true loyalty to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel. We're the only ones bringing this message to the Jewish people. The only ones. Now, just in case you think it's hopeless for Israel, we still have one thing going for us. Hashem, God. God will not allow Israel to be destroyed. But there could be terrible suffering, God forbid, and terrible catastrophe and mass murder, God forbid, and all types of bloodshed and other horrible things that we want to try to avoid. Terrible catastrophes. Israel will never be completely destroyed, but partial destruction, God forbid, and all types of terrible disasters, that could happen. And that's why JTF and the warnings that we give to the Jews of Israel and the effort we make to wake the Jews of Israel up is essential. It's essential that we plant the seeds now for the turnaround that will eventually the Jews in Israel will wake up. That's what the prophets, that's what everyone promises us in the Bible. Eventually the Jews in Israel will wake up. We've got to plant the seeds for that. We're the only ones planting those seeds. No one else is telling the truth. No one else is doing this. So that's our task in Israel. That's the task. And again, don't despair, even though the politicians are all bad and the parties are all bad in Israel, don't despair. Because in the end, God will not allow Israel to be completely destroyed, God forbid. And again, if you don't want to see Jews murdered and you don't want to see terrible suffering and terrible bloodshed, JTF is the group that is warning the Jews of Israel. If the Jews of Israel would do what we urge them to do, we could bring salvation to the Jewish people. We could bring redemption to the Jewish people in the world very quickly. The second thing that happened after the election was what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump reacted to the election in Israel. Now, Donald Trump was supposed to be Bibi's big friend, and he did support Bibi in the election. There's no question he was supporting Bibi, making all types of statements, saying he said that he hoped that Bibi would be reelected. I mean, he actually openly intervened in the election and said that, and was backing his friend Bibi, and Bibi put pictures of him all over Israel and named a settlement in the Golan Heights after Donald Trump. There's actually a town that's being built in the Golan Heights that's going to be named Trump. It's going to be named after Trump. All over Israel, there were billboards and signs, and you saw it in their advertising. All over, the Likud emphasized how Trump and Bibi are friends, and they're solid friends, rock solid friends, and they'll always be loyal friends. What did Trump do as soon as the election was over? He immediately stabbed Bibi in the back. When he saw that Bibi was running behind the blue and white party and that doesn't look like Bibi is going to be the next prime minister, doesn't look good for Bibi, when he saw that, Trump immediately stabbed Bibi in the back. His loyal friend, the person that he had such trust in and was so loyal to and so committed to, immediately, what did Trump say? He said, when they asked him, what do you think? Are you still support Bibi? And he said, quote, our relations are with Israel. We'll see what happens, unquote. In other words, refused to say a word of encouragement or a good word for Bibi after the election. Refused to say even one good word for him. Refused to praise him or say anything. He just said, our relations are with Israel. We'll see what happens. Right away stabbed him in the back. And let me tell you something. Let me say something to the brain-dead Jews of this generation, whom our leader, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Harav Mir David Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahana, always said, the Jews who are so brilliant in science, in art, in literature, the Jews who are less than 1/5 of 1% of the world's population, maybe 12 million Jews, 12 or 13 million Jews out of 7.5 billion people in this world, less than 1/5 of 1%. And they get 28% of the Nobel Prizes for science and research. And I mean, just a nation that is so brilliant in science, in medicine, in research, in literature, the creativity, the power of the Jewish people and Jewish brain power. It's just unbelievable what God, the talent and the brain power that God has given his people, the Jewish people, and they are his people. And yet, when it comes to their own survival, this same people that are so brilliant in every other area is so unbelievably stupid when it comes to their own survival, so incredibly stupid. The Germans were able to tell them that they're going to the showers when they were going to the gas chambers. Millions of Jews were murdered. I mean, if they knew that they were going to be murdered anyway, they would have resisted. There would have been something. They believed the Germans. They believed their murderers again and again throughout history. A people so brilliant in every area when it comes to their own survival, so unbelievably stupid. And we see this with Donald Trump. All the Jews in Israel and all the so-called right-wing Jews or Republican Jews who worship Donald Trump. You don't think the way he stabbed Bibi in the back, he'll stab Israel in the back? He dumped Bibi like that. In 1 second, he dumped Bibi. You don't think he'll dump Israel if he thinks it's in his interest to do so in a millisecond? You don't think he'll dump Israel as well? Of course he would. He doesn't give a damn about Israel or the Jewish people or anybody. He doesn't care about America. He's not an American patriot. He doesn't care. He only cares about Donald Trump. And by the way, all the terrible things I'm saying about him now, he is terrible. He's awful. He's disloyal. He's a backstabber. He's an evil person. And the Democrats are even worse than him. And we will probably have to wind up supporting Trump for re-election because the Democrats are actually much worse than him, believe it or not. But to trust him and to trust Israel's survival with someone like this, who I'm talking about Donald Trump, who even in the business world, I mean, a complete backstabber, completely dishonest, Trump University, he ripped everybody off in Trump University, stole $35,000 from from students, paid him $35,000 in tuition and learned nothing, got nothing out of it. Nothing. A complete fraud. Everything was a fraud. He ripped off working class, the type of working class idiots that like him, that love him. He ripped them off. He had no mercy on them. And so he right away stabs Netanyahu, cuts ties to Netanyahu, gives him the cold shoulder immediately after the election. This is after years of nurturing a relationship and loyal friendship with Netanyahu, and we're bonding and we're loyal friends and we'll always be loyal friends. As soon as the election's over, boom, stabs him in the back. This is what you can expect from Donald Trump. And look at Saudi Arabia. Now, Iran attacks Saudi oil fields, destroys half of Saudi Arabia's oil production, at least temporarily. No question, an act of war. And Trump right away backs away, and after swearing that he was his loyalty and his friendship for Saudi Arabia, right away backs away, doesn't want to know about it, doesn't want to do anything against the Iranians. This issue of Iran, this danger from Iran, of a nuclear Iran, can you imagine a nuclear Iran, which is what we're getting close to now? This danger would have been solved immediately if we had had Ted Cruz. And if we had had Ted Cruz, we wouldn't have a president who will release a so-called peace plan that endangers Israel's survival, as Trump is planning to do. We wouldn't have a president like Trump who told Israel to freeze Jewish building in Judea and Samaria openly at a press conference with Netanyahu and Jerusalem. We wouldn't have a president like that. With Ted Cruz, we would have had someone who, as an evangelical Christian, really believes in Israel and really wants Israel to flourish and would not have done this to Israel. But you morons, you wanted Trump over Cruz, and that's what you got. And so you got a president who again, will endanger Israel in a millisecond, will endanger Israel, will sacrifice Israel and all the Jewish people, and couldn't care less about them. If it would get him a little glory and a Nobel Peace Prize, he couldn't care less about Israel or its or her survival. And to show you again how bad the situation is in terms of what an evil world we live in, and how right the prophets were, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all of the other, Ezekiel and all the other prophets, who warned us that there would be such evil in the end days, and Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud, who warned us that this is what it was going to be like in the end days, that this is exactly what we should expect when the Jews return to Israel and there's a Jewish state again. That's the end days, and they warned us how true all of this is. Because as bad as Donald Trump is, the Democrats are much worse. Much worse. The Democrat Party is now the most anti-Semitic, is just a completely anti-Semitic party. A party committed to the destruction of the Jewish people and the destruction of Israel. And so we have no choice really right now. It looks like we're not going to have a choice but to support Trump for re-election, despite all of the problems that I've been outlining. That's where we stand. And even if we support Trump for re-election, even though it looks like we're going to be supporting him for re-election, despite that, let us never forget that we cannot trust not Trump, not Washington, not the United States, not Russia, not certainly not Russia, who want to destroy Israel. They've murdered Jews for centuries. We cannot trust any of these nations or leaders. We cannot trust or have alliances or covenants with these nations. You can have trade with these nations if it's good for Israel. And you can have a relationship that is beneficial to Israel, but not a relationship where Israel is dependent on the United States or any other country. There should be no U.S. foreign aid. That should end immediately. So-called U.S. foreign aid is not aid. It hurts Israel. It is terrible. It damages Israel's economy, damages Israel's military, damages the ability of Israel to be the flourishing technological powerhouse that she can be. She is already a technological, little Israel already is a technological powerhouse, but she could be a much greater technological powerhouse many times over if she didn't get this so-called foreign aid, which restricts everything Israel can do. So this is the message that we've got to bring to the people of Israel, because if we do wake them up, and if the Jews finally do what they're supposed to do, the final redemption will be here. The final redemption. We already are in the period of Geulah, of redemption. We return to Israel, we have Jewish sovereignty. That's already redemption. That's what Harambam, Maimonides, taught us. Redemption just means that we're no longer under the control of the nations of the world, that we now have our own sovereignty. And Harambam defines sovereignty. If you can produce your own currency, and if you can make decisions of war and peace, which Israel clearly can, then you have sovereignty. We now have Jewish sovereignty again. We are in the redemption, the period of redemption. You know, it's amazing, the Hasidim and all these other Jewish groups, they say everything is controlled by God. Everything is a miracle. If a leaf falls from a tree, that's controlled by God. That's a miracle. And there's an angel that's making that leaf fall from the tree. This is what they teach. Everything's a miracle. Everything's controlled by God. Except when Israel, when the Jews returned to Israel in 1948 and outnumbered 100-1, exactly as the Bible says, win this great victory. That's not, that they don't define as a miracle from God. That wasn't God's will that happened. And the 1967 Six Day War, that was not a miracle. That they won't say is a miracle from God. They won't define those things as great miracles from God. But everything else, that's a miracle. A miracle. The Rebbe did this, and this one did that, and those are all miracles from God. But when God brings us back to the land of Israel after 2,000 years from the four corners of the earth and gives us these victories that are right out of the Nevi'im, right out of the prophets of the Bible, that's not a miracle from God. That's not the hand of God. That's not God doing this. Anyway, you know, they want to turn the Mashiach, the Messiah, into a magician. He's going to be a magician. He's going to do abracadabra and do magic tricks. That's what they think the Messiah is going to be. The Messiah is going to be a military leader who's going to destroy Israel's enemies, and a political leader who's going to establish Jewish sovereignty over the whole land of Israel, and an educational leader who's going to bring the Jews back to Judaism, and a leader and a spiritual leader who's going to rebuild the Holy Temple. That is what the Messiah is going to be. He's not going to be a magician that's going to do abracadabra tricks. Oh, is JTF's message of true Kahanism. Oh, is that needed now more than ever. But the good news is all of these things were foretold. We are headed toward that final period. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, because I'm not a prophet, and we don't have any prophets. We haven't had any prophets since the destruction of the first temple. So I can't tell you prophetically what's going to happen, but I can tell you things that have already happened. I can say have been clearly defined by Torah Judaism as great miracles, and we're on the way. We're very close. And events that can lead to the final redemption, they can happen in the next few years, or they can happen, or it could take another 100 years, another 200 years. I don't know. But we are getting there. We are certainly getting there. And 100 or 200 years, by the way, in terms of Jewish history, is not a lot of time. But it could happen a lot sooner than that. Who knows? Big events, tremendous events. And if you want to be part of the organization that is warning the Jewish people and the voice in the wilderness standing up for the truth during this time, you're in the right place. You're in the right place, warning the Jews and the righteous Gentiles. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.